I don't know about you, but that song there really gets me going. Because in a world in which we live in, there's got to be something that gives me hope, that gives me comfort to know that in the midst of everything that goes on, I got a God that says he holds the world in the hollow of his hand. And because I have obeyed from the heart that gospel, and were willing to be buried in water for the remission of my sin, that God told me that I will give you eternal life. I will give you a crown that fadeth not away. And so as I go through my journey on this time side of life, and as I look at all the sick ones that I love, those that have gone on before me, reminds me and encourages me to stay on track in my Christian walk. No matter how tough it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, there's always a guarantee that I have from God himself, and that is I will never leave you, nor would I forsake you. And if you have some trials and if you have some tribulation, I tell you what, come unto me, and I'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. That's why the child of God ought to be excited. That's why we ought to be motivated, because we serve an awesome God that promised you and I that if we remain faithful till we die, he'll give us a crown that fadeth not away. Well, Lord, how am I going to do this? We live in an ungodly world. We live in a world that has no direction. Well, I tell you how you do it. John chapter 12 and verse number 32, Jesus says, if I be lifted up, and I'm learning that when you lift up Jesus Christ, boy, life has meaning. And I don't know about you. And so as we've been looking at this text for the past few months in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, where the Apostle Paul writes these words to encourage the believer that in the midst of everything that goes on, the believer ought to have confidence, ought to have reassurance that when life is taken from him, he's not worried about it because God has prepared a place for him. But even on this time side of life, it's important that the believer live his life in such a way that when death does come, he hears those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So therefore, it behooves the believer to understand what God requires of him. It helped the believer to understand that in this world, you're going to have some trials and you're going to have some tribulations. John chapter 16 and round about verse number 32, Jesus says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So that gives me hope. That helps me to know that in the midst of everything that goes on, because God loves me and he cares for me, he gave me his spirit that I don't have to go through half the changes that most people go through. Amen. I don't know about you. I've learned how to be happy when I have nothing to be happy about. But I always got something to be happy about, don't we? What do we always have to be happy about? Do this. Take a deep breath, boy. If you start choking now, then you need some help. But church, we ought to be excited. So as I draw this series of lessons to a conclusion with Galatians chapter 6, I want to back up into the Galatians chapter 6 and round about verse number 7, where Paul would write these words to remind the believer. He says in verse number 7, be not deceived. Inferred there that you can be deceived. But Paul here wants to remind the believer that if you put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, if you trust in God, if you do the will of the Father, you don't have to worry about being deceived. But Paul wants to remind this church here, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he who soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And church, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the day when he calls me from labor to the other side and says, you've done good, Stan. Come on and enjoy what I've prepared from the foundation of the world. And that's what excites me, to know that the God of heaven, when he made the world, he had me in mind. He had you. Oh, y'all don't believe that? He had. Read your Bible a little more. From the foundation of the world, God had you and I in mind, because he already knew that Adam and Eve would mess up. So he had to make a way for you and I to get back to him. And from the foundation of the world, he's prepared a place for you and I to live eternally with him in the heaven. Verse number 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes the road gets rough. Sometimes life gets a little difficult. Sometimes sickness makes you just want to throw up both hands. But Paul here reminds the believer, no matter what state you in, no matter what condition you in, no matter what comes your way, don't get weary. Get tired, but don't give up. He says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. One translation says, if you don't lose heart. And I don't know about you, that when you deal with life and life's tragedies and all the things that go along with life, it's sometimes real easy to want to lose heart. But the believer should never lose heart because of who we are and who we serve. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have an abundant life. And so as believers, church, we should never, ever give up. He goes on to say in verse number 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. Title of the lesson, if you happen to be taking one, are you ready for the harvest? That's right. Are you ready for the harvest? God has prepared from the foundation of the world a message through his son, and he's commissioned you and I to carry forth that message, the message that helps men and women out of darkness into a marvelous light, the message that if we deliver it to those that are lost, can help them to see that life has a better meaning, and that meaning is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the question is, are you ready for the harvest? See, because to be ready for the harvest, it requires something. It requires you and I to understand what the harvest is all about. It requires you and I to understand that if we're going to be ready for the harvest, we got to make sure we're planting something for the harvest. Not only are we planting for the harvest, but we're going to water for the harvest. And not only that, we're going to take time and sweat and cultivate the ground so the harvest is ready to be harvested. But the question is, are you ready for the harvest? Because if you haven't planted anything, don't expect a harvest. If you're not watering anything, don't expect a harvest. See, I'm talking about those of us who are willing and ready for the harvest, because there's a harvest that you might not even know about. Amen. And I'm not talking about the physical harvest. I'm talking about the harvest of the souls of men. And the question is, church, are you ready for the harvest? Because to be ready for the harvest, it requires you and I to understand something about what the harvest is all about. In Matthew chapter 9, and round about verse number 36, I want to show you that when you talk about the harvest, there's a mindset that goes with the harvest. There's an attitude that goes with the harvest. See, because when you're ready to harvest something, nothing else is important. You rise before day, and it's dark when you go home. Somebody can testify to that, because the harvest is ready to be picked, and you can't be asleep when it's time to be picking. You can't be late. Oh, I wish I had a church this morning. When it's time for the harvest. Because, see, when it's time to pick fruit, be late. The flies will get it. The worms will get it. And I'm not talking about the flies and the physical worms. How many flies and worms catch us when we're supposed to be doing the harvest? I want to show you something. See, the attitude I'm talking about is the attitude that Jesus had when he looked at the harvest. Matthew chapter 9 and round about verse number 36, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. See, the harvest I'm talking about moves you. The harvest I'm talking about develops compassion in you. The harvest I'm talking about requires each and every one of us to stay ready, to be ready, and to always be prepared to collect the harvest. Because see, the harvest I'm talking about is the harvest of souls. And God knows getting well if we're ready. The Bible says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Do you see that in today's society? Do you see people going any way but every way but the right way? You know, well, I must bring it on home. How many of us up in here are going every way but the right way? See, the harvest that I'm talking about requires something of us. It requires first and foremost to look at other men and see the condition of other men and then ask myself a question, am I ready for the harvest? See, because when you're ready for the harvest, that means you empty yourself out to take care of the harvest. Jesus here sees the harvest and he's moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they've lost heart. How many of us sitting up in here done lost heart? You know, you're so used to going through the motions, going through the routine, that all it is a Sunday morning and a Wednesday, and you're going on about your business. You're not ready for the harvest. Because, see, when you're ready for the harvest, you look at your brothers and sisters and say, are you ready, Henry? I know you're weak. I know you can't hang, but we're going to do this harvest together. That's right. I'm ready this morning, because when I stop and think about the harvest that God has placed upon us, we got a whole lot of rotten tomatoes. Amen, Walls. Amen. You know why? Because the pickers are not picking the way they're supposed to pick. See, I'm learning that when you pick a tomato, you just don't yank him off the vine. You got to have some compassion with them. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And then you got to use delicate hands, because if you pick him too hard, you're going to break the skin. Yes, Jesus goes on to say, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. Let that sink in. There's a whole lot of folk that need you. There's a whole lot of folk that need to be saved. But the question is the laborer asleep? Are they late? Are they just sitting out there just laboring and doing absolutely nothing? I'm talking about you and I. Because, church, if we're going to be ready to receive what God has for us, we have to be doing the will of the Father, and then we must not grow weary in well-doing. We must continue to do what God requires, because God has a harvest. The harvest is here. It's ready. The question is, are you? Because if you're not ready, guess why? People are going to go on into eternity without the gospel. They're going to be lost because you and I have fallen asleep in the fields. The Bible says, Jesus says, truly, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Ask yourself a question. Have I been laboring the way God requires? You know, we're so busy majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. Somewhere down the line, God's people have to understand you've been saved for one purpose. That's to bring someone else to the cross. Your life is supposed to be lived in such a way that men, women, boys, and girls see Jesus Christ in you merely by the life you live. And I'm a firm believer that when they see that and you open up your mouth, they just blown away because of who you are. Verse number 38, Jesus says, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Jesus said we need to pray that God will send forth laborers. But I'm reminded of the prophet Isaiah. When God looked around and saw that there was no one to send, the prophet said, Lord, here am I. Send me. And so the laborers are you and I. See, church, when we look at the condition of the world, when we see people having no directions, when the life of homeliness and homelessness and the life of not knowing which way to go, it's time for you and I to step up to the plate. The harvest is truly plentiful. And you know one thing about the harvest that I've learned, that the harvest that Jesus had, he don't look at good fruit or bad fruit. Amen. He's looking to receive the harvest that you and I go out to harvest. I want to encourage us and remind us, church, that in the process of everything you do, don't lose heart. Don't give up. God is always in control. When you look at the condition of the church, are we really harvesting the fruit that's around the church? Oh, yeah, I know we get a letter every now and then that we got some weeds growing around the church. Some of y'all missed that. And you know something about the weeds that grow around the church? We will work from sunup to sundown to get rid of the weeds, because if you don't get rid of the weeds, you get a fine, which comes out of your pocket. So you're going to work real hard to get rid of the weeds. But what about the fruit that's growing with the weeds? Do we take time? There's a pear tree over there, apple tree over there. There are some plums over there. Are we really ready for the harvest? Because the harvest I'm talking about is the harvest for the souls of men. And so when we look at the condition of those that we live in, we need to understand that somebody needs Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to know about the gospel that is able to save a man's soul. The gospel that is designed to help men out of darkness into a marvelous life. The gospel that I'm talking about will give you a peace that man just will not understand. But the question is, are you ready for the harvest? See, because to be ready for the harvest, something has to move you. I move because I was once lost. I move because I had no hope. I move because one day someone told me he's coming back for a chosen set of people. And he said, you're not one of them. That's what moved me to obey from the heart the gospel and be added to the body of Christ. So I know when he comes back, Stan is going to be on his mind. Why? Because I'm going to live my life and I'm going to harvest all the fruit that I can for the master. So when I stand before his judgment seat, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful laborer. You've harvested the crop that has been set before you. But the question still remains, are you ready for the harvest? See, everyone needs Jesus, even in the church. You know, sometimes I think we've taken him out of his own house. Amen. Because if he's here, boy, shouldn't we be a little lively? Shouldn't we be a little more motivated? Yeah, amen, walls. Oh, yeah, okay. See, because when you really understand the harvest that he's placed upon each and every one of us, something has to move you to go out and seek and save the lost. See, everyone needs Jesus. In our homes, we need Jesus. He needs to be first and foremost. Ephesians chapter 5, around about verse number 22, Paul talks about how the wife and the husband ought to behave themselves. Ephesians chapter 6, he reminds the children, obey those parents where? That are in the Lord. If you do that, guess what? You'll live long on the earth. And then he says, fathers, don't you provoke them now. Amen. Well, see, everyone needs Jesus. And the question is, do you spend enough time with him? Because I'm learning the more you spend time with Jesus, the more you'll be ready for the harvest of the souls of men. So when things come your way, it's not about how good the weather is. It's about, do you know my Lord and Savior? You know, do you know how good he can be? See, our lives are supposed to be lived in such a way that men and women are drawn to the cross merely by our example of life. Amen. I'm learning the way I live, tell somebody about who I am. My neighbors know who I am. That's not a brag, that's a fact. And that fact come from the way I live my life with the Word of God. Church, if anybody ought to have a testimony, it ought to be us. And if anybody knows anything about us, it ought to be your neighbor. Amen. Because they know if you're good. Sound like Santa the Clausy. But anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Some of y'all missed that, but that's okay. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And round about verse number 12, Paul writes these words to this young gospel preacher, reminding him and encouraging him and reminding him that the harvest is ready. You got to be ready, Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12, he says, and let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hand of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, that the life that you live, Timothy, will be evident to everybody you come in contact with. That's some powerful stuff there. That tells me right there that every person I come in contact with should see, reverse that, ought to know that I belong to Jesus Christ. Not should be, they ought to know who I belong to. He says that thy profiting may be apparent to all. Verse 16, he says, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Paul tells Timothy, the harvest is ready. Timothy, you got to be ready. Compassion ought to move each and every one of us this morning. Because each and every one of us was once upon a time lost. Amen. And compassion on the cross moved him to die to reconcile you. We need to have that same compassion in everything we say and do. Our compassion for what God did for to his son on the cross ought to be the compassion that we have every single day of our life. People in the world are facing trials and tribulations. People in the world have so many problems. They need Jesus. But sometimes even in the church, we need to revisit who he really is. That's right. Jesus is alive and well because you ought to be able to see him in one of those. We just sung that song. We sung a song that when we look into the face of one another, we ought to see Jesus Christ. But the question remains, are you ready for the harvest? See, the harvest requires compassion. Compassion on other people to help them to see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. See, this compassion that I'm talking about, first and foremost, came from God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. Church, the harvest is truly plentiful. We need some workers. Let me bring it on home. There are some Bible classes that need to be taught. Who's going to teach them? That's right. It requires each and every one of us stepping up to the plate and doing what God requires of each and every one of us. And I know you're probably saying, well, I can't do much. Well, do what you can do. That's right. The wisest man on the face of the earth says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your heart. The harvest truly is plentiful, Jesus said, but the laborers are few. And in our lesson text, Paul says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. And I want to encourage you and remind you, stay on track, church. Don't allow Satan to get the upper hand on you. Jesus offers a better way for you and I. And that way is that if we do his will, he's promised he'll take care of everything else. Hebrews chapter 5, I believe, chapter 13 and verse number 5. The Hebrew writer writes these words to remind the believer and also to encourage the believer that in the midst of everything that goes on, if you trust God, if you depend on God, you don't have to worry about a whole lot of things. Verse number 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. Church, I'm understanding that when God is first and foremost in your life, you understand that the harvest is not about the things of this world, but the true harvest is about helping someone out of darkness into a marvelous light. Church, I hope I've said something just to encourage your heart. Powerful passages of Scripture where Paul reminds the believer, stay on track. And you know, and I like Paul because Paul would remind the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he writes these words that I always reflect upon. He says, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. For I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Church, that's all I know. And I know one day he's going to reward each and every one of us according to our deeds. And so I want to encourage you, don't grow weary. Don't allow Satan to get the upper hand. Keep your mind in that word. And I'm telling you, when you stay in the word of God, boy, he'll control your tongue. He'll control your thoughts. And when you want to say something that you know good and well, you want to get back at somebody, amen, anybody here like that? He'll control that. He'll stop that. And I want to encourage you to stay on track. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the question is, are you ready? And if you're not ready, you need to repent and get on the right track. It's just that simple. Those of you that are visiting this morning, hope and pray I've said something from the Word of God that'll cause you to think about your soul's salvation. You've heard the Word of God this morning. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But the question is, do you believe what I said? John chapter 20 and verse number 30, many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you got to repent of your sin, Luke 13:3, 13:5. Confess that he's the Son of a living God, and that's an ongoing confession for those of us who believe. And then he says you be buried in water for the remission of sin. He adds you to the body of Christ, which is the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, having trials and tribulations and don't know what to do, I got the answer, church. I got the answer. And the answer is, what are you harvesting? See, if your biggest harvest is for the Benjamins, that's why you got some problems. But if your harvest is for eternal salvation, he'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.